This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Having a routine can be tricky. I mean, you as a father, you as a husband, trying to stay with the routine right when you finally get it, it switches up. And sometimes Ramadan can present that for some of you, being that you've had a routine and you just got with it, your fitness, your sleep, your prayers even, and you're reading the Quran, but now it's changed. And then now you're told that, okay, this is the month that you need to increase and intensify. And knowing that you had to change your schedule, primarily that of your sleep and of your eating. But there's three things, I think, as a man, as a husband, as a father, just in general, as a man, particularly. I'm saying a man because there will be certain responsibilities that are expected of you, and they won't change in Ramadan. But in actuality, knowing how to shift from the routine that you had from before to a new routine now in Ramadan is very, very important. And that adjustment has to be in a graceful fashion. You can't be angry that you have to adjust, especially if your family is watching. So these three things, I really want us to understand that it's a Quranic method that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already set for us. It's important for us to embrace that and to try our best to dominate in these three fields. The first of them is the Quran. The Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. SubhanAllah, in this chapter, he mentions it six times. Different times in this chapter, showing that the Quran has been made easy for you to memorize, easy for you to read. فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. Is there anyone that will take heed to this? So Allah is actually calling out to you and he's trying to wake you up. This month of Ramadan, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن الآية. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed. So this month of Ramadan is a time for you to take heed to this blessed message of the Quran. But the goal is not just to read the Quran, understand its meanings, it's to act upon the Quran. فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ. Anyone that takes heed to this. Why is this important for you as a father? Because within the program that we have at Masterman, I'll share with you a little of it. There's five daily prayers that we have as Muslims, men, women, five daily prayers. My humble belief is that with these five daily prayers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has scheduled this throughout the span of a day to serve as milestones for our activities. The primary activity is that of prayer, and everything should surround that. Yes, I know that we work 9 to 5, 7 to 3, 3 to 11, night shift. But within all of that, when our life is revolving around our purpose, as we as Muslim men, our purpose is to worship Allah and show gratitude to Him. Well, if He's given you that job, you know that He is Ar-Razzaq. If He's given you the facilitation, facilitated for you to go there, He is the one that is Al-Qawi, and He has given you the strength. There is no power nor might except with Allah. When you realize this job was given to me by Allah, how do I show gratitude to the one that has given me the job? I pray. It doesn't matter where I am. I try my best to fulfill these five daily prayers. And within the time span that He's given me, it's a time span which shows the mercy of Allah, which also serves as an incentive for us to make that effort. Why am I mentioning this in regards to the Quran? Because if we attach a recitation, reading of the Quran after every prayer, we'll see our life change, wallahi. That's the first thing. If you were, for example, after Salat al-Fajr, to read four pages after every prayer, starting with Fajr or starting with Maghrib, because, you know, in our methodology, we say, you know, the day starts at Maghrib, really. That's 20 pages. That's one juz in a day. So imagine the whole month, Ramadan and outside of Ramadan. That's the whole Quran in a month. If you were to take two pages, that's half of the Quran in a month. So if you look at it as that, in that way, reading the Quran after every prayer, you don't get up until you finish. This can be life-changing. But more importantly, as someone that's in your household, as the leader, as someone that's in your household that may set the tone, if you were to just share one verse that you benefited from, one verse that really impacted you, you watch a program from some people of knowledge that may explain that verse, you read it after Salat al-Fajr, and you share it with your family in the living room all together, that benefit is how you can set the tone initially for you being the father, but primarily, subhanAllah, imagine your children saying, every Ramadan, Baba sits us down. Or every Ramadan, I sit with my husband and he relays to me a verse of the Quran that he's learned from people of knowledge and he shared it with us. Taking that Quran after every prayer and reading from it is what's very, very important. And also, the middle of the night, brothers, taking advantage of that night time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what's so beautiful about this, when he told him, Ya ayyuhal muzammil, O you wrapped in garments, Qum al-layla illa qalila, stand up in the nighttime except for a little bit. He was with his wife Khadija. And this is beautiful because at nighttime, we may be with our wives, right? At nighttime, we may be asleep. But standing up and leaving off everything to stand up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at nighttime when people are asleep. This shows a level of self-discipline. It shows a level of control. And that self-discipline, control, and what's important in front of your wife, in front of your family, them seeing you get up. And even in the last 10 nights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions three beautiful things that he used to do on the last 10 days, actually related by his wife Aisha radiallahu anha. So that's the first thing, is to have this relationship with the Quran and to intensify that relationship in this beautiful month of the Quran, the month of Ramadan, making sure that we establish and maintain that relationship with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, it doesn't have to be in order. You don't have to finish the whole Quran. I'm just saying this to really put it in perspective, that if we were to use the salawat as markers to where we establish that reading of the Quran, that pondering over the Quran, this is how we're benefiting from the month of Ramadan. You can look in the index and see certain stories and see certain themes. So for instance, you know, the chapter of Yusuf alayhi salam, we see jealousy of our siblings. You see the chapter of Yusuf alayhi salam, someone that was, you could say that his own people were jealous of him, particularly the most closest individuals to him. But his father was someone that wanted to see him, that loved him dearly. Look at it from the father's aspect. There may be our children that may be going off on a deep end. And you see Yaqub say, Fasabrun Jameel. You see Yaqub trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see Yaqub have the emotional intelligence that he mentions his sadness in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he calls on him. You see how Yusuf alayhi salam was persistent. You see how Yusuf alayhi salam didn't have this envy and enmity towards his own brothers. All these are messages that when we take time to read about the one that created time, to read about the one or what the one said about time, to read what he said about the prophets and the lessons learned from that, we share it with our loved ones, in which those individuals we want to leave the legacy. All of that comes and stems from you spending time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's message. The second thing is qiyam. Qiyam, standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembering that you are going to stand in front of him on a day when there is no return. Yawma yaqumun nasu li rabbil alameen. The day that all of mankind will stand for the Lord of the creation, of the alameen. Everything other than Allah will stand in front of Allah. So remembering that you're going to stand in front of him. So when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you remember that Allah is watching you. And that is where the man gets his strength. You have to understand, when you stand in front of Allah, praying in humility, humbling yourself, making yourself vulnerable to him, calling on him, mentioning his names and attributes. And when you mention those names and attributes, when you say, Alhamdulillahi, Rabbil Alameen, Allah is in control. That's why I praise him. And I think about the things in my life that he's given me. I think about the family he's provided for me. I think about the family that he's taken away. And I praise him for that because I know he's doing it for divine wisdom. Because he is the Rabb. He is in control of all things. Just this in Fatiha alone, standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having that discipline to disassociate and detach from everything and cleansing my heart of any enmity or any laziness or fears that I may have, this is what is beautiful for the man to gain strength in the prayer. What I mentioned earlier about what Aisha radiallahu anha said in this beautiful month of Ramadan, particularly the last 10 days, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shadda mi'zara wa ahya laylahu wa ayqadha ahla. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he do? He tightened his garment. He tightened his garment, meaning that some scholars say he didn't come close to his wife because he would be making i'tikaf. He would have this encampment, spiritual encampment in the masjid. He would not leave the masjid. What does that show about prioritization? What does that show about living your purpose? And what does that show about taking the time to do things to where you have to push it to the next level? You have to give it 110%, pushing yourself to the limit. This is important for a man and for your family to see that you are leading through pushing yourself, especially if they see that you haven't done it and you're doing it for what reason? The beautiful month of Ramadan. So he would tighten his garment. He wouldn't come close to his friend. SubhanAllah, Aisha radiallahu anha would mention, even outside of Ramadan in general, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to help around the house. He would stitch his garments and he would sweep. And when the time of prayer comes, listen to this, he would leave as though he didn't know us. Prioritization, importance, taking to that which is important, fulfilling his purpose in that which is primary. So the first thing he would do is shadda mi'zara wa ahya laylahu. He would liven his night. The nighttime is when he was busy with ibadah. During the day, he's busy with ibadah, but that intense ibadah, waking up in the middle of the night, praying taraweeh, you know, after Isha in the masjid, for example, you pray taraweeh in the masjid, you come home, you spend time with your family, you get some sleep, and then wake up before Fajr to make tahajjud. You pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you call on Him, you think about life, how it's temporary. You think about what Allah has given you from your family, with your family members. You think about your responsibility and you call on Him, oh Allah, make this easy upon me. Make me strong. Make me firm. Allah knows what you're going through. You call on Him and you're vulnerable to Him. And that will give you strength because you're strengthening your relationship with Him, which allows you to not worry about what happens in this life. Trusting in Allah more will decrease that anxiety, inshallah. And fear, the anxiety before an event and that fear after an event, and knowing that Allah has predestined it. And that's the beauty of understanding Qadr. When thinking and pondering while you're in the prayer of events that have happened in your life, this is what allows you to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the qiyam is the second thing that you want to enhance in this beautiful month of Ramadan. The third thing is your colon. I know that y'all didn't expect that. So the first thing we talk about, the Quran, you hear this every year in your masjid. Qiyam, you hear this every year in your masjid. It is mentioned in the Quran, it's mentioned in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has its place. Therefore, we mentioned it. But your colon, also, what do I mean by that? Those of you that don't know what the colon is, it is basically from your esophagus all the way down, right? It is that tubal structure. It is where the food passes through. Why is this important? Because for you as a man, as I mentioned, you know, we always talk about provision. But provision is more than just a monetary supply. It is more than you just receiving money and then disseminating it or giving it to your family or taking care of your family via the money. There's provision of structure. So when Ramadan comes around, you sit with your family before Ramadan and you talk to them about what's the structure that we are going to have. Now, it could be a whiteboard, it could be on a phone and you share it in a group, but it's going to be, okay, iftar, we're going to spend iftar together and break our fast together. You know, make sure that by the time iftar comes, I'm going to be on my way home. So make sure that there's just a light snack ready. Or on the weekends, we're going to go out for iftar. On the weekends, we're going to spend taraweeh, make taraweeh at a particular masjid in our area. There is a plan that you generally have to where your family knows and feels that this is a special month. Baba's making a plan for this. Baba's waking up in the middle of the night. I see Baba reading the Quran and sharing Quranic verses on the whiteboard. I see him sharing Quranic verses with us in the house. At this particular time, phones away, and we're sitting as a family. We're going over this. Now, when talking about the colon, it's important for us to understand that this fasting serves a huge benefit. Firstly, to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by depriving ourselves of the natural, of the necessities, the bare necessities that we will need from food and drink and even having relations with our family, you know, with our wives and being with them in an intimate fashion. We're abstaining from that, from the entrance of Fajr to the entrance of Maghrib. So here, this serves as a huge opportunity, secondarily, for our health. You can worry about 1 million things as a man. I have to take care of my family. I have to go to work. I have to provide for my mother. My parents are sick. I got to visit them once a year, or they're living with us. But if you're not healthy, you're only worried about one thing now. Everything else is secondary. Everything else practically doesn't exist, depending on how severe that health challenge can be. It may be diabetes, to where you're close to having to get dialysis. You're very tired. You have to go to the bathroom a lot. Let's be honest. You know, it may be some type of sickness that you're facing. It may be something that deals with your hormones, low testosterone, because you haven't been eating healthily. You're not working out. You're not walking. You're eating a lot of processed foods. Your colon. Make sure, firstly, in regards to your colon, the first thing, make sure that you're breaking your fast with a light snack. That you're breaking your fast with a light snack. That you're eating something that satiates and hydrates, but primarily hydrates. Something that has a level of sugar and a level of electrolytes. So a watermelon is phenomenal. Bananas are phenomenal. Avocados are phenomenal. These things are phenomenal for you to break your fast. Something light. Why is this the case? Because your body has been depleted of nutrients, and whatever you consume at that moment, it's going to immediately take it in. So you want to give it some type of hydration and a level of satiation, something that allows you to feel a little full. And you also want some levels of potassium. So you want to have, watermelon is 90-something percent water. So having that will allow you to feel a little full. But be careful. If you eat too much of it, you'll feel very bloated, right? So you want to eat something that is of a light snack, drinking some water. If you don't have any watermelon or any type of fruits, pineapples especially, because pineapples has what's called bremelain. That's an enzyme that will allow you to digest future proteins that come into your body and digest fruits. You know, I remember my scholar mentioned the verses when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفَاكِيَةٍ مِمَّا يَتَخَيَّرُونَ وَلَحْمِ طَيْرٍ مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ وَحُرُنِي. But just the first two verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفَاكِيَةٍ مِمَّا يَتَخَيَّرُونَ, and the fruits of which, from which they desire, which they desire, they choose, talking about Jannah. وَلَحْمِ طَيْرٍ مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ, and the meats of that which they desire as well. So the fruits from which they choose and the meats of that which they desire. He mentioned that this may show the importance of tartib, of how fruits come before eating. And you will see generally that it's important to eat fruits before eating any type of heavy foods, particularly that are proteins, because the enzymes in some of these fruits, particularly like pineapples, will allow the digestive process to be much better and dare I say quicker, but for allow it to digest easier and better. So this is beneficial for when breaking your fast. Just think of it in your mind as a snack. And that also shows a level of self-control when your children see you do that, right? So you have your snack, then you make maghrib, then you recite the ayah that you read, right, with your family, and then go back to dinner. This is one suggestion. But your colon is important for us because there is something called the vagus nerve that connects from your stomach all the way to your brain. Basically, it tells you that you're hungry. That control of that nerve and suppressing yourself from just consuming a lot of salty, processed foods is better for you. When you take that snack and then you go make maghrib, and you're making maghrib, being thankful of Allah, being attentive. And then after that, you eat healthy foods. So for instance, you have some grilled chicken with some spinach and some sweet potato, right? You'd have some lamb, not the gyro lamb, but some slow cooked lamb in a slow cooker, right? With some, you know, some hummus and some broccoli or some tabbouleh, Mediterranean diet, right? You can have some rice, but any type of carbs, make sure it's only a fist amount. These things will help change your life. It will change your sleep. Try to eat 2 hours before you go to sleep. And if you eat something, make sure it's something light, like some Greek yogurt, right? Now for your suhoor should be something that has a level of protein. I would say, you know, some free-range eggs. Eggs in general, but free-range is even better, right? To have some eggs, primarily if you can get 30 to 50 grams of protein from those eggs, which is roughly about 6 eggs, this would be good. Now what you can do is you can take the eggs, get like a muffin holder, put the eggs in there with some ground beef, just increase the protein with some yogurt, and eat some fruit before that if you can, and drink some water or even a protein shake to have that satiation and hydration. So just remember, suhoor, primarily satiation, hydration, being full and staying hydrated throughout. Taking care of your colon will give you better sleep, and it will have give you muscle maintenance from the potassium, from the bananas you may have in the morning, the avocados, which even has more potassium than bananas, and that sugar, the healthy sugar, which will get you going. These three things, brothers, will allow you to have a very fruitful and beneficial Ramadan that will allow you to take it to the next notch, to where it will be transformative. Remember, Quran, Qiyam, and your colon. These three things, let's try to manifest in a way that will benefit us, benefit our health, a healthy deen, healthy salah, healthy Quran reading, and a healthy diet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this easy upon all of you in this beautiful month of Ramadan and in the months to follow. Innahu waliyu dhalika. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.